Well, on these summer evenings, I know I've been away for a couple of them on holiday, but for these summer evenings as a church family, we have been considering together the connection between prayer and certain areas of our life. So we, on the first Sunday of the summer, if you were here, we thought together about the connection, the essential connection between prayer and the spread of the gospel. So in God's sovereign design, these two things go hand in hand. If you were with us last Sunday evening, we were considering together the connection between our praying and between our ability to resist temptation. Diggy took us helpfully through that last week. And for a few moments this evening, I want us together to come to a portion of the Bible that makes a connection between our prayer life, between our praying and our worries, or our anxieties, or our concerns. Now, I just want to, again, it's full of caveats. This is not everything that the Bible has to say about worry, or anxiety, or all those kind of issues, but we're just going to dive into one portion, and we're going to hear what God has to say to us about the connection between prayer and worry, anxiety. So let's dive in, shall we, to Philippians chapter 4, just a short reading. Philippians chapter 4, page 1180, if you're using a church Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please just put a hand up. A couple of people here, Jim, thank you. We'd love a Bible. There's one in the middle over here. Thanks very much. Philippians chapter 4. This is, I guess, if you've been hanging around church for a while, this verse is kind of a well-worn path. You know when you come up to an area of grass and you can see where people have walked across it back and forward? Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 are well-worn Bible verses, okay? They are precious to us as believers. But we're just going to try and just freshly read them this evening. I want to make a few observations, and then we'll do some praying together. So Philippians chapter 4, and we'll pick it up at verse 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Just as a quick kind of survey, put your hand up if you have worried about something today. That's a fair portion of us. What about if you've worried about something over this past week? What about if you've worried about something ever? Yeah, okay. So that's most of us in this room, right? So these verses are deeply relevant for all of us. Now, I'm aware this evening that as I ask the question, who's worried about something, who's been anxious about something, that we represent, and we all need to acknowledge this, we represent a spectrum in this room of worry and anxiety. For some of us, we are more bent that way, if that's the right word. We lean in that direction. Our temperament perhaps leans more towards worry. Perhaps for some of us, it's not really an issue. But all of us, however we sit on that spectrum, all of us face things in life that prompt in us, stir in us, cause us to be anxious at some point. Things that cause us to be concerned about perhaps the future, what things that might be but haven't yet arrived. We worry about stuff, don't we? We're not alone in that. We've all put our hand up. We all worry. And for some of us in this room, it might be infrequent or even rare to encounter those feelings of worry that make your insides feel like they're knotting up. For some of us in this room, we have to acknowledge that it is a daily struggle. It is a burden that some people carry, and in some cases it is right to even seek medical help for those kind of struggles. The reality is that there are lots of situations in everyday life that each of us face. There are thoughts that pop into our heads and our hearts that cause us to get that feeling of being anxious or concerned or worried. We might call those things triggers, things in our life that kind of trigger the worry. Let me just give some examples just to try and maybe connect this with you or make it real to you. For some people, a trigger might be taking a journey somewhere, just an everyday thing. But it may trigger worry. You might think, well, what if I'm late? What if the buses don't run on time? You might think, well, what if the bus crashes? And you see the thoughts that stir. Just a small thing can trigger worry and a whole chain of thoughts that cause us to be anxious. It might be facing something new, and maybe some of you guys here are facing new things, something that's ahead of us, a new home, a new place to live, a new class that we're going to be in, a new school that we've got to go to, a new job that we've got to start. And as we think about that new, it stirs in us worry, anxiety, that feeling that kind of starts in here and begins to get you all knotted up inside. It could be a bill that we need to pay. It could be an illness. For some of us, it could just be the thought of getting an illness that causes us to worry. For some of us, it could be a relationship that's not going too well. You get the idea? These are the things we worry about, don't we? That start that feeling of anxiousness and worry inside us. Sometimes, we just start to worry. Maybe you can identify with that. And you can't even reason why you're worrying, but you're just worrying. And we've got no answers for it, and it makes no sense to us, but that feeling just arises within us. See, my guess is that most of us, if not all of us in this room, will have worried or had that feeling of worry, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of anxiousness arise at some point, because we all face things that cause us to be concerned. Now, that was clearly true for this group of Christians that Paul writes to in Philippi. There was clearly circumstances in their life that started that feeling of anxiety, that worry that brews up inside us. We're not exactly sure what that might have been, but if you read through the letter, you get a hint that there was some kind of opposition that they were facing. So we don't have to go through these, but you can take my word for it. Chapter 1, 28, they were frightened by those who were opposing them. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, they needed safeguarding. If you need safeguarding, it means that there's some danger around. Chapter 4, verse 1, they needed to stand firm, implying that there's those who are trying to knock them off course. And it is clearly that kind of external background, those external troubles in their life that were causing the Philippian Christians to get that very worrying feeling that all of us, as we put our hand up, perhaps can identify with. They faced everyday circumstances that were clearly leading them to have a worried thought life and a worried heart life, that knotting up of their insides. That may be what lies behind this command in chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul writes to them, "Do not be anxious about anything." So here's the thing. What are we to do? What are we to do when worries come? If that's the reality of life, if there are things that we all face that stir up that worry inside us, what are we to do when they arrive? What are we to do when we encounter something that causes us to be concerned? What are we to do when that worrying feeling stirs up within us? What are we to do when something triggers a whole chain of worrying and anxious thoughts? Well, have a look with me at verse 6. This is all we're going to try and do this evening. We're just going to try and take Paul at face value, and we're going to try and see what he says when those things arise. So look at verse 6. It says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." What are we to do when worries come into our life? Well, Paul puts before you two paths, two sets of actions that you can take when worry arises within you. The first is what I want to call the first path you can walk is what I want to call this evening the path to going pop. Now, that's not to trivialize it, and hopefully you'll understand why I call in a minute, but it's the path to going pop. The second path is what I want to call the path to peace. The path to going pop and the path to going peace. And it wouldn't surprise you to understand that Paul is telling these Christians, look, don't walk the path that makes you go pop. Instead, I want you to walk the path that leads to peace. Now, let me try and explain what I mean. First of all, Paul says this, don't walk the path to pop. Don't walk the path to going pop. When it comes to worry, the best illustration that I could think of Rob said that he couldn't preach. I was thinking, well, what could I say about these verses? The best illustration I could think of is actually, when it comes to worry, we often feel like a balloon. Now, let me explain what I mean. You see, every time I blow into this balloon, and you're going to have to excuse my funny face going red for a second. Every time I blow into this balloon, it fills up with air, doesn't it? And it stays there. And if I blow it up a bit more, it fills up with a bit more air. And the more I blow into it, excuse me for a second, what's going to happen? It's going to go, yes, okay, I'm not going to do it because I know some people hate popping balloons. I'm going to get it just to its limit, okay? So the more you do it, the more air I blow into this, it gets to its limit. It gets to its capacity. If you were to come and feel this, you'd be thinking, Nathan, don't blow any more air into that. Why? Because it's about to go pop. It's about to explode. It's stretched to its limit, and it just can't take any more. And friends, I want us to understand, and if you are someone who struggles with anxiety, you will understand this image. When it comes to worry, when we walk the path of worrying, allowing our worries to take over, then it feels like this balloon. We feel in increasing measure like we are stretched to our capacity, like if you put any more worry into us, we will just go pop. That's what worry does to us. Our thoughts go round and round. We add worry to worry, and one worry leads to another worry. Do you know the famous Peanuts cartoons, the Charlie Brown? And he's often sitting on the doghouse and things like that. One that's always stuck in my head because I think it resonated with me. And one of it said this. It was Charlie Brown sitting on top of the doghouse, and he said, "My anxieties have anxieties." But isn't that what happens when we start to worry? Our anxiety gets anxieties. And it just becomes this chain, this path we walk down of adding worry to worry to worry. And all we're doing is blowing air. Don't worry, it's not going to pop. We're just adding air into the balloon, and we feel like we're going to go pop. Each worry fills us up more and more, and we are stretched to our limits, emotionally, physically. And we often feel like we just cannot take any more of this thought life, this thought process, this thing that's going on inside of us. Now, friends, I want to be kind of clear with you tonight that it is not wrong, it is not a sin to be concerned about something. It is not a sin even to have a worrying thought. That's inevitable in a world where things pop up in our lives all the time. But the dangerous path that we walk as worry starts to arise within us is that we become overly concerned about things that we cannot control. We become, the dangerous path is where we allow our worries to take over, where we allow our anxieties to get anxieties, where we choose to walk the path of allowing that worry to let us worry a bit more and then a bit more. To use a kind of a famous kind of pastoral counseling phrase, we listen to ourselves rather than speak to ourselves. And you see, I think, friends, that's what Paul means when he talks about this word anxious. Look again at verse 6. You see, he uses that word, do not be anxious. Now, I want to help us to see that actually that word is used both positively and negatively in Scripture. So even, I haven't got time to show you properly, but if we were to go back to chapter 2, you'll discover that the word is used positively. He says, actually, I've got someone who's really anxious for you. Timothy, there's no one like him. He's got an interest. He's anxious. He's concerned for you. Now, that's a positive anxiety. But here it is a negative anxiety. It is what is deemed in its original language as unduly concerned. So what does Paul... So Paul, you see, says to these believers in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Now, what does that mean? I don't know if you know, some of us perhaps are more, lean more towards worry in this room. But have you ever experienced someone coming up to you and saying, look, just don't worry. Just stop worrying. Just stop it. Now, actually, when you're in the middle of worrying, if you are someone who worries, that's about the least helpful thing that someone can say to you. Just don't worry. But I am worried. I'm right in the middle of worrying. I've walked this path, and someone comes up to you and says, stop worrying. Now, it may be well-intentioned, but those of us who know the feelings of worry know that it's not a switch that you can turn on and off. You can't just say, well, I can get rid of this emotion of anxiety and worry. It's there within me. I can't just stop it. But then that makes this Bible reading seem a bit strange, doesn't it? Look what Paul says, verse 6. Isn't he just saying that? Just stop worrying. Just turn it off, Philippians. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, just stop it. But what Paul means when he says here, don't worry, do not be anxious, what he means is that when worry and those concerns arise within you, when you get that feeling of anxiety, when those feelings begin to take hold of your heart and your mind, don't allow your thoughts to run away with you. Don't entertain them. Don't actively choose to worry. Don't do the Charlie Brown thing of add anxieties to your anxieties. Don't, as I've put it up on the screen, walk the path to going pop. Don't allow yourself to get unduly concerned about things that you just cannot control. The future that might be, the what ifs. See, he's not telling them to stop a feeling. He's telling them to stop choosing to worry about the things that have stirred that feeling in the first place. And I guess the question then is, and if you're still with me, the question is, how do you do that? If you are someone who struggles with worry, you're thinking, well, isn't that just the same as saying, well, stop it? But it's not. What do we do when worries arise? What do we do when that anxious feeling is stirred within us? What are we to do when we are faced with walking down that path of just letting our thoughts run away with us and worry after worry? Well, Paul says there's an alternative, and it's this. Choose instead to walk the path to peace. So you just look again at verse 6. Let's just go through the verse. I'm just really trying to just unpick the text for you this evening. Do not be anxious about anything. Now here's the key. Here's the alternative path. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, rather than fill the balloon with air, with all your worries, rather than fill the balloon with air by allowing yourself to walk the path that leads to pop, by filling your heads and your hearts with every anxiety and the anxieties that follow it, what are we to do? Well, very simply, we are to let the air out. And who are we to let it out to? We're to let it out to, you can interact, to God. That's what he's simply saying. There are two paths that you can walk. You can fill the balloon. You can walk the path of worry to this point where you feel like going pop. Or you can let it all out. And you can let it all out to God. You can pour it out to him in prayer. I'm not saying that you become a shriveled up balloon then, by the way. Friends, can you notice two words in verse 6? Two words. They're the words anything and everything. You see, wherever you are on the spectrum of worry, I really want you to hear this evening. There is no worry that is too small. There is no worry that is too irrational. There is no worry that is too silly. Some of us feel like our worries are just a bit silly. There is no worry, even too big, that we are not invited. In fact, I put it as strongly as commanded to pour out and to give over to God. It doesn't matter if your worries are few or you're someone who has many worries. We are to take them to God. You see, when that worry comes, that feeling arises, when that feeling kicks in, rather than walking the path to going pop and choosing to worry, adding anxieties to your anxieties, we must learn to let it all out and bring it to God in prayer. Cast your cares, or your anxieties, as it puts it in Peter. Cast your anxieties on the Lord. Why, friends? Because he cares for you. Isn't that what the Psalms are? Over and over again, you see real people, real believers, not filling their balloon with worry and anxiety, but instead letting it all out to God. Friends, isn't that what we see the Lord Jesus doing as the man of faith? What was he doing in the garden when he worried, was feeling anxious, concerned, and rightly so about what was ahead of him? What did he do in the garden? He let it all out to God. Paul uses four terms in Philippians 4, verse 6 to describe pouring out to God. And I am afraid I haven't had the time to pick into all these four words this week and kind of pull them together. But I just want to tell you this, that if you bolt those four words together, what are they? They're prayer, they're petition, it's the thanksgiving and request. You see those four words there? That's the description of what he tells you to do. If you bolt these four words together, what are we being commanded to do? We are being commanded to talk to God in a specific way, not a vague way. We don't come to God and just say, oh, God, I'm feeling really worried. We tell him why we're worried. Be specific. And we tell him what our needs are. And it is to be prayer that is filled with thanksgiving. Did you notice that? Let's just read 4 verse 6 again, just so I want you to see this. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't walk the path to pop, but in everything by prayer, there's the first word, and petition, second word, with thanksgiving, there it is, present your requests to God. Now again, if you're someone who leans towards worrying, that may just seem like a really odd thing to say. When you're in the middle of worry, saying thanks to God for stuff isn't the first thing on your agenda, is it? But actually, it's thanksgiving to God that reminds us of what we already have in God. It actually reminds us of who God is. You see, prayer, I don't know about you, and I'm trying to perhaps just share some of my own personal experiences here, but worry causes me to look in on myself. It's like a black hole that sucks me in, and when I'm worried about something, I forget about everything else. I just can't see round it sometimes. But adding thanksgiving into our prayer lifts our eyes beyond our struggles, beyond the very things that cause us to be worried, to God who can help us in those worries. So what might that look like? Well, imagine a prayer for a moment without thanksgiving. So imagine this prayer. God, I'm worried. I'm worried about starting my new school in a few weeks' time. I'm scared of having no friends when I get there, and I'm scared that the teachers might not be very nice and they might not like me. Please help everything to go okay. Now, that's a fine prayer, isn't it? They've poured out their worries to God. But now let's add in a bit of thanksgiving with it. God, I'm worried about starting school in a few weeks' time. But thank you that you promise to never leave those who love you or forsake you. I'm scared of having no friends and that the teacher might not be very nice. But thank you that Jesus promises to be a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that you promise to hear all who call out to you for help. Please help everything to be okay. See the difference between the two prayers? adding thanksgiving into our prayers where we're pouring it out to God is part of God's means to help us in our worries, because it lifts us back to Him. It lifts us beyond our worries. As we pour out our worries to God and our requests to God mixed up with thanksgiving, this is God's way of leading us not to a path where we go pop or feel like we're going to go pop, but actually it leads us to a path where we experience peace. Can you look with me at verse 7? Because this is where it leads. This is why I've called it the path to peace. See, if you, rather than being anxious, but in everything pour out petition, what happens? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we walk the path of prayer, as opposed to the path of adding anxieties to our anxieties, it leads to fresh experiences of God's peace. Peace here, I think, seems to stand in contrast to worry and anxiety. It means, the word literally means harmony. It means an inner being that does not feel like a balloon that's at full stretch and about to go pop, but an inner being that feels like a deflated balloon and doesn't look in danger particularly. You see, look again at verse 7. What is it about this peace? Well, it says here this peace transcends all understanding. And again, if I'd had a bit more time, I might have had a better explanation. But I just simply want to say to you this. A peace that transcends all understanding makes it a pretty unique peace, doesn't it? This is not peace that you can go and buy from a book in Waterstones. This is not peace that you can get from a self-help scheme somewhere. This is peace from above. This is peace like no one else can give us. And it's peace. What is the result of this peace? Well, it guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That who's been down to Buckingham Palace? Most of us have, haven't you? And you see those guards marching up and down at the front when they're standing still most of the time, but occasionally they do the marching thing. What are they doing? They're guarding Buckingham Palace. And the peace of God, when it comes to us in our worries and our anxieties, it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It keeps us from being moved away from trusting Jesus to standing firm with trust in Jesus, even in the depths of our worries. See, as we grow, friends, in our ability to pray, when we begin to feel worried, when that anxiousness stirs within us, as we learn to pray, then we should also begin to grow in our experiences of God's peace, which in turn will help us not to worry. Walking the path to peace is the path, well, it's the age-old path of running to God, isn't it? That's all he's saying. Run to God in your worries. This is the pattern that is set for us over and over again in Scripture, isn't it? It's the pattern of faith. Running to God is always the path to peace, isn't it, in Scripture? If you're still with me, the path to peace, running the path to peace is running the gospel, isn't it? That is what the gospel is. That is our salvation, running to Jesus for peace in a relationship that's broken. Where do we go? Well, we run to God, we run to Jesus, and we receive His peace, peace of relationship with God. Have you run to God for peace this evening? But actually, friends, for those of us who have run to God, first of all, for peace in relationship with Him, do you understand that it's running to God that is the way that you have access to His ongoing help? Friends, I want to be really clear tonight that this is not a quick fix. We live in a McDonald's society, okay, which is that you walk in, you order your burger, you walk out. And we expect things like that in life, don't we? That's how we expect it now. And so you read a verse like this and you think, great, that's a bit of takeaway food there. That's going to sort my life out. But friends, the reason I've picked the word path is that this is an ongoing way we need to learn to walk. This is not if you just do this, all your anxieties, all your worries will go, because as soon as one might disappear, another one will arise. This is a way of life that we need to learn to walk. And when that worry and when that trouble arises within us, that struggle, that anxiety, that concern, we've got to learn in increasing measure to, with God's help, please hear that, with God's help, not to walk the path that goes pop, but to walk the path of prayer. Friends, wherever we are this evening on that spectrum of worry, and I do acknowledge that we are in a variety of places here this evening, whether it's an occasional struggle for you or whether it's an everyday battle and a huge burden you carry, this verse helps us to see that prayer is our pathway to peace, even if that peace lands in eternity. But running to God is our path to peace. Peace in the face of things that concern us. And with God's help, we must make prayer our choice when we worry, rather than, as Charlie Brown puts it, letting our anxieties have anxieties. May God help us to walk the path of peace this week in the face of things that cause us to worry. Friends, shall we pray? That's what the Bible tells us to do, isn't it? And then we'll sing together. Our Father in heaven, as we talk about the subject of anxiety and worry, Father, you know each of our hearts here tonight, and you know which of us even tonight have come here with anxious thoughts. You know which of us that have come here tonight that actually feel like the balloon that's about to go pop. And Father, we come before you understanding truths like I spelt out for us earlier in the passage we read, that you are the Lord who is near. You have given us reason upon reason to rejoice in you. Father, you are the one who cares for us. And so, Father, we simply ask by your grace and by the Holy Spirit's enabling, please would you help us in our worries to pursue prayer, to pursue pouring out our hearts to you rather than allowing our thoughts to run away with ourselves. Father, please would we then know peace in our worries. Father, even this week, would those of us here who have particular worries know your peace which transcends all understanding. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.